This is Andy Rainey, pastor of Blue Ash Community Church, and on this week's podcast, we continue our series, At the Movies. This week, we look at Spider-Man. To listen to more podcasts like these, simply subscribe to our iTunes or head to our website, www.blueashcc.com. Now, as a kid, Spider-Man was my favorite superhero, and so now that I have a boy, I am trying to kind of lure him that way, and he's taking the bait, so I think that's a parenting win on my end. Well, my name is Andy Rainey, the pastor here at Blue Ash Community Church. If this is your first time here, we're glad you're here. As Craig mentioned, we're just looking at different movies, and there's some sort of theme that's in each movie, several themes, actually, if you look close enough, and there's something to that that speaks to us, and there's a reason for that, because that same theme is in Scripture. It's those same stories, those same ideas, those same truths that speak to us so deeply because they're so true in Scripture. So we've been simply looking at some of the movies and then talking about one of the two themes in those movies. And this week, we're talking about Spider-Man, but before I do that, we talked about a Reds night out coming up this Friday, so hopefully you guys will join us for that. But any Reds, anybody like to go to a ballpark, like to go to see a Reds game? Come on, we need more than that, otherwise this event's not going to go well, people. We have four free tickets to today's game at the 1 o'clock, 1:10 p.m. So if somebody wants them, just simply come up and get them. I'm going to put them right here on this seat. First come, first serve. There's four free tickets. So you're not going to disrupt me at any point if you want to come up and do that. Spider-Man, if you know anything about Spider-Man, he really struggled with his own identity, who he was as Spider-Man and who he was as Peter Parker. So he had this whole idea of identity that he kind of struggled with. And although we're not Spider-Man, although I would love to be, we still struggle with the same idea, which is this whole idea of kind of work-life balance, who he was as Spider-Man, and that balance of who he was in that suit and what he could do and what he could accomplish, and then who he was as a person and how that worked and how that related with everybody he interacted with at school, at home, and those types of things. So we can figure out real quick, if we struggle with kind of this balance of where we spend our time, there's this whole balance that we all wrestle with, which is our time investment. And this is the question we can ask ourselves real quick to figure out how we land on this. Does my schedule tell me what to do, or do I tell my schedule what to do? Are we living as if, like, boy, if I got to do everything that's on this calendar, or everything that's in my schedule, and then we're just slaves to the schedule, or are we prioritizing our times and telling that schedule, that calendar, where we're going and why we're going there? And this is, honestly, if I were to grade myself, I would not grade myself well. I do better as the years go on, but this is an area I can struggle with. And this whole message is not just out of this movie idea of struggling in their different environments and his different environments, but this is really going to be pulled from a book called Choosing to Cheat. I think he's renamed it because it kind of gives this negative connotation. But Andy Stanley is the author of this book. It's a really small book. I used to buy some of these and hand them to people and say, hey, when you read this, just give it to somebody else. It's a great quick read that will really help you with this whole idea of where are you cheating in your schedule, in your life? And I've based a lot of this, but cheating and the idea that we're going to talk about is this. This is the definition moving forward. Cheating is the decision to give up one thing in order to gain something else. And we all cheat. Every single one of us are cheating somewhere, somehow. We're making decisions to gain something, but to give up something else. So, for instance, if you go out to eat later, maybe for dinner tonight, if you have people over, and it's time for dessert, you'll make a decision. You're going to cheat something. You're going to say no to the dessert and for the sake of your waistline, maybe, but you're going to cheat kind of that desire, that appetite that you have for that particular dessert. We cheat relationships all the time, and I don't mean you're cheating on your spouse. What I mean is, you invest in some relationships and neglect others purposefully so that you can invest in a deeper relationship and you can't develop others because we're limited on time. We pass up opportunities in life all the time for the sake of others. So we cheat opportunities. We cheat in the way we say yes to something, we say no to something else. And we do this every single day, every moment when we say yes. This afternoon, you're going to probably go out to lunch somewhere and you're going to cheat one of the restaurants in Blue Ash or the surrounding communities. When you say yes to one restaurant, you're saying no to all of the others. And the reality is our schedules are no different. When we say yes and put something in a time slot, we say yes to that thing in order to say no to all these other things. So the question isn't, am I cheating? The question then becomes, Where am I cheating? Where am I choosing to cheat? And where am I just cheating and I don't really realize it? And the answer to those questions are at the core of our priorities. Where we spend our time, where we invest our money, tells a lot about what we value and where our priorities are. And this typically isn't a heart issue. Like, we would never say, oh, that's because they have a bad heart. That's why they're doing to those things. As lead pastor at Blue Ash Community Church, I have lots of areas I spend my time. I'm not only the lead pastor here, I'm the chaplain of the Blue Ash Police Department. I'm the School Board of Education in Deer Park. I have 4 kids. I have a wife. I have some great friends. My time is maxed. So if it's not in my calendar, I simply don't do it. But I'm getting better at telling my calendar what I'm going to do instead of the calendar telling me what I'm going to do. And oftentimes, my kids and my wife will get the short end of that stick. Not because my heart is bad. I don't think anybody would say, it's because Andy has a bad heart. My heart isn't the problem, it's my priorities. And the same is true for you. Good intentions have never really accomplished anything. We can look back on our life and go, well, that good intention there really helped me out. Good intentions really don't help us with anything. If I am in my car, and you guys are leaving this morning or this afternoon, and I hit you, but my intention wasn't to hit you, you still have to go to the hospital. Like, my intentions aren't good enough. Our priorities, our actions speak way louder than any intention we'll ever have. And the idea that our schedules are what they are tell us a lot about where our priorities are, not necessarily where our heart is. And this is the tension. This is the tension between work, between family, between friends, between hobbies, between even church and rest, and all of those things get wrapped up in there, and we can lose the heart or the intention behind why we're doing what we're doing. We all probably work a lot of hours, if you're working a lot, for legitimate reasons. You probably hang out with your friends for legitimate reasons. You probably have hobbies that you enjoy, and you do those more often for specific reasons. They give you life. They help you rest, or whatever those reasons are. If we all had a cup of coffee and had a chance to explain ourselves, we'd have legitimate reasons why we do what we do. And I'm in this boat with you. There are lots of things I love to do. There are lots of things that I get to do. I love my job. Nobody tells me to work as much as I do. There's always something that can be done. There's always something that should be done. I just love it. I love everything that I'm a part of. And if you're like, hey, Andy, you're involved in too much, I would agree with you. But then I would quickly, behind that, tell you all the reasons why I am involved in so many things and why that gives me life. And you would probably, I've had somebody do this, push back and speak to me and go, hey, I don't know, I'm not sure that's really kind of in the core values of what you say, your family, you need to think about those things. And so those challenges are good. It helps me think through my priorities, not necessarily where my heart is. My heart's certainly with my family. And if you're anything like me and you're involved in too much or you're doing too much, whether you're running with kids or it's hobbies or work, your prayer is probably a lot like this one. Listen to this. Lord, you know my heart. You know how badly I want to spend more time with my family. So while I'm away, will you please watch over and protect them? Please fill the void. Fill the void that I have left while I'm away. Lord, I know you understand my love for them. Help them to understand as well. Amen. Like, that sounds like a great prayer. I'm going away, God. So will you help fill that void while I'm away? Will you help them understand how much I love them, how much my heart is for them? Sounds like a really great prayer. The problem is, I'm assuming that God could not do at work what I'm asking him to do at home. I'm asking him to take care of the things at home, do those things at home while I'm away, instead of switching that prayer and going, okay, I've decided to say no to these things so they say yes to my family, and God, will you be there while I'm here? And so we often make this excuse that I need to be there, I'm the one that has to. And those types of prayer where we ask God to fill the only thing we can do. I don't want anybody else to be the husband to my wife. I don't want any other guy to be the father to my children. I'm the only one that God's put in their lives to be that particular person. And yet, we all find ourselves pulling ourselves away from environments where we can be the only ones to be those types of people. We might as well pray, God, you do what only I can do, while I go do what thousands of others can do. I mean, when you think about it, the jobs we do, as great as we think we are, there are 1,000 people that could do what we do for a living. And likely they can do it better than we can do it. And yet, we find ourselves spending more and more time in those environments while neglecting the one environment God says invest in the most. Isn't that interesting? It sounds ridiculous when you really step back and think about it through that lens. The issue isn't really whether we love those close to us. Of course we do. Of course we love our family. Of course we love our friends. Of course we love our spouse. We love them. We want to spend time with them. We love God with our heart. We say all those things, but our time, our priorities don't say the same things. When we looked at our schedule, I'm going to guess we haven't carved out the time to spend with those we say we care about the most. And I get it. Some of us have high-pressure jobs that require a lot of time. Some of us work shifts that are really kind of delicate with the family, the way that the family operates, and it kind of interferes with family time because you have to go and you have to make a living. I get all those things. But the question is, where can you cheat? Even in those environments, where can you cheat a little to invest a lot? Because somebody's getting cheated. And the reality is, we can choose with some validity who could be cheated and who cannot. We get to have some say in that. So I love to play golf. I have the luxury of being off on Fridays. That's my day off. So I play golf on Fridays because it doesn't interfere with the family. I just have that luxury. You rarely will you see me out on the weekend playing golf. Some of us golf it in the issue. Some of us play golf on the weekends. And I have nothing against that as long as, again, you're working through the priorities of that. Some of us, our struggle is, you know, we like to run a lot. We like to hike a lot. We like to work out. We like to spend time with friends. We like to play games with adults. We like to have adult nights out. We pack our schedules with activity after activity after activity. And some of us are packed by the hour. We don't even know how to sit very well without a phone in our hand and entertaining ourselves and not being fully present with who's around us. Andy Stanley makes this point. We can choose to cheat strategically. And when we do that, we cheat at work. That doesn't mean you shortchange your job. It doesn't mean you stick it to the boss. It doesn't mean you cut out early without them knowing. What it means is you start to do things that prioritize your work day to be more productive so that you can leave on time or that you can get home for dinner. And so, again, read the book. He'll give you a lot more context to this. But one of the things that I stole from that book early on is when we first launched the church, I asked my wife, hey, if there was a night that I was going to have late night meetings, what's the best night for that to happen for our family? And so she gave me the night, and that's where I spend 95% of my late nights are on Monday nights because that's the best night that works for our family. That's my late nights. That's an area I chose to cheat at work. Like, I wasn't going to give the church all those other evenings. Those were going to be for my family and other engagements. Monday nights would be for church work. So we can all choose to cheat in those types of way. And when we cheat, again, we do that at work. If you're a stay-at-home parent, you're like, well, Andy, I don't have a paying job. I would say, well, you do. What you do to run a household is probably more important than what the working parent would do. But you can choose to cheat around some of the housework that you do. Maybe the kids can get involved, or you know what, the dishes aren't going to get put in the dishwasher till later. So you can start to choose to cheat in those ways to invest and be more present in those moments. I mentioned earlier that every time we say yes to one thing, we say no to another thing. And every time we say yes to work, we're saying no to our families, to our friends, to those that we care about. We don't mean to cheat on them. That's not our intention. We think we're doing it out of love that we're spending more time. Oh, if I can just get to this point, that point just requires more time, more effort, more energy. That point never comes. And every time we say yes to that, we're starting to build this case at work that, Andy's going to come in and solve it. Or once they get here, we'll be okay. You become the stopping point of growth in the whole production crew or whatever those things are, but you cheat even those employees that you continue to be around to answer every question, not empowering them, training them, teaching them, developing them. So your friends, your family, and your loved ones are on the outside, and they're getting cheated. So how do we cheat strategically? I'll give a couple quick little things, and then we're going to look at a story in the Bible that kind of just really is a beautiful picture of a decision. He had to cheat somebody, and he had to make a choice. First, we need to decide who are we going to cheat. So when you think about your life and where you're spending all your time, all your priorities, don't take your heart out of it. Well, my heart, they know my heart. That's just an excuse we tell ourselves so that we feel better about the decisions we're making. Where are you spending all your time? And then you got to decide, now where am I going to cheat? Who am I going to decide to cheat? Because you're like, well, I've got to spend, you know, this month is always a high pressure month at work. That's fine. Just have that conversation. But then when that month is over, shift your priorities back to your family, back to your loved ones, back to your kids, or whatever where they should be. But you need to choose where you're cheating, why you're cheating it. Until we make up our mind that we're going to cheat strategically and purposely, we're going to continue to repeat the same patterns. And when we do that, we cheat those that we say we care about the most. Our commitment to the ones we love should be reflected in our time, not in our intentions. When we put God as our priority, God takes responsibility for our lives at that point. When we make him a priority in our lives, he takes responsibility for that. And so this morning, we're going to look at a story in the Bible. So if you have your smartphones with you, I'm going to open up the YouVersion app and follow along. We're going to be looking in the story of Daniel, chapter 1. And while you're getting there, let me set a little bit of background here. This is about 605 BC, and the Babylonians have invaded Jerusalem. And they've taken Israel captive, the chosen people of God, Israel. And so what they're doing is they're handpicking these young men who have gifts and talents and strengths. And they're taking them and they're immersing them in the Babylonian culture. They're trying to make them as much Babylonian as they can. They're going to make them great Babylonian citizens. So Daniel, a young man who's a follower of God, is handpicked because of his gifts and his talents and his strengths. And he is ordered that he's going to eat all the king's same meal that the king is eating, the same wine the king is drinking. So you're like, you're literally living like a king, which sounds like a great deal. Like, okay, I've been taken captive and I get to live like a king. Like, a lot of us be like, sign me up. Is there a beach involved? Because I'm definitely there. But the problem is, eating this food and drinking this wine, Daniel would have just acknowledge the pagan gods, not the God he believed in, but the gods that the Babylonians believed in. And so he would say when he was eating that and drinking that, that they are the source of his provisions and his strength and his knowledge, his skills. In essence, Daniel would be giving the Babylonian gods credit for all that he was, all that he is, and all that he could do, not the God of the Bible. And so he had a decision to make. He either had to cheat the Babylonians or he had to cheat God. That was his decision. Both parties, both communities wanted something from him, and he could only satisfy one. So he was going to cheat somebody. Let's read what happens. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. But Daniel, verses will be right behind me here. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to him by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. I love that part because I think we miss this. Oftentimes, we think it's all in our own accord, all in our own strength, that I'm going to get any kind of relationship built with somebody or any kind of favor given to me by somebody. But it says right here, now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But he responded, I'm afraid of my lord the king, Daniel said, who has ordered that, or this is what the chief of staff said, that ordered you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to your other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. I mean, we can read that and go, okay, that's part of the story. I've heard this before. But imagine you're the chief of staff. Like, you're responsible for Daniel and these young men. Your life is literally on the line. I'm afraid if I let you skip these meals, boy, my head is literally on the line. We sometimes skip over the severity of what's going on here. But insert yourself in the story. You're the chief of staff. That's, you know, if they get sick and they figure out why they're sick, you're dead. You're a dead man. That's Daniel's situation. Two parties wanted something. He's asked. He's getting resistance. Daniel's choice of diet was an indication of where he placed his loyalty, his intentions, not his heart. Was it for God or was it for the Babylonian culture? What are your decisions you're making? What What do your priorities have to say? Where are you spending your time? Is it with your family or is it with your job? Is it with your friends or with your loved ones? Is it with your hobbies or those that you care about? Where is it in you? Where is the tension? Where you say, my heart's there, but all of my time is over here. The same type of challenge that Daniel is tested with. He is tested with his loyalty of by what he ate. Ours is very evident, not by what we eat often, but where we spend our time, who we spend our time with, what we spend our time doing. And if you're like most people, you can't give all the time expected, all the time required to everybody. Somebody's going to get cheated. This past week, I was on vacation, which was great. Thank you to all the volunteers that make that possible. I was able to turn my phone off 99% of the time. The email still is not turned on. I'll turn it on tomorrow morning. But I was able to disconnect. I was not going to cheat my family for something that happened back here because I had full confidence in the people that call Blue Ash Community Church home, whether through staff or through volunteer, through leadership. We have to get to the point where we can just say no to some things. I was going to cheat the church, in quotes, for a week so that I could invest every ounce of my time and energy into my family and into my kids. Where are you not cheating purposefully? Because when we say yes to some things, we say no to others. When we say yes to someone, we're saying no to somebody else. When we say yes to a person, we're saying, you matter. I value you. And when we say that, we're saying no to somebody else. We cannot appease. We cannot make everybody happy. You can choose overtime. You can get the extra money. But what does that mean as the outcome? You can choose to work out more, but is it going to be at the expense of family? Can you do it differently? You can say yes to hobbies, my golf game, you know, all those kind of things. Fill in the blank. What is it, the things that you love to do, but you're saying, when you say yes to those things, you're saying no to somebody or something else? Do you know why you're doing it? Are you purposeful? Are you Daniel in the equation going, okay, is this honoring to God what I'm doing? That was Daniel's wrestle. I want to honor God. I am his son. I want to serve him only, not these other pagan gods, which are just things that we worship. We have to give God an opportunity to move on our behalf. Daniel asked for permission. Have you ever gone to your boss and just asked for permission? Hey, on Tuesdays, can I leave a half hour early because I got to do this with my family? They may say no, but you never know. Where can you start to ask for permission? Where can you ask to cheat in a different way? Daniel asks, and he received some important information. It wasn't necessarily the food the official was worried about, was it? He never said, you have to eat, if he doesn't see that, you know, all the food and all the wine is gone, that my head's going to be on the chopping block. No, he was worried about their condition, what they looked like, their health, their presentation to the king. So Daniel has a plan. He says, here, what about this? And listen to his plan in the following verses 15 through 17. At the end of 10 days, he's like, hey, for 10 days, let us eat just vegetables and water. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than any young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for others. God gave these four young men an unusual appetite for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings and visions of dreams. So basically, Daniel and his friends, they get a promotion and a raise. God says, okay, I've already gifted you, I've already given you these talents, but since you've chosen me over everything else, you're not going to worship the pagan gods, which for us could be, you know, our golf game, working out, hobbies, friends, work, whatever those things are, whatever those pagan things that we're finding ourselves worshiping now. He said, you're going to worship me, then I will magnify your talents and your gifts. They get a promotion and a raise. Now, I'm not going to say, hey, that means you start to do that with God, and all of a sudden you're going to go to work in the next couple weeks, and you're going, hey, here's a big raise. It might happen. But that's not a guarantee. What it does say, what you're already gifted at, what you're already good at, God will magnify for his glory, not for yours. What I'm saying is when we make the decision to prioritize God and those things that he values the most, I can only be the father to my children. Nobody else can do that for me. I can only be the husband to my wife. I can continue to choose that, or she's going to find another husband to do it. That's just the reality. And I don't want that. There are times, and even in church world, that somebody else can do what I'm doing. And I got to be okay with it. May not get done exactly the way I want, but that's assuming my way is right. That's the same in our world. What are we choosing? What are we prioritizing? Where in our life, in our priorities, in our schedule, do we have the Daniel choice? Spider-Man has a choice. He makes the choice every time he puts that suit on that he's going to choose to be that person. And when he does, he excludes all of his friends, all of his family. They don't know who he is or what he's doing. He has to have this life of secrecy. We only get to see some of the times the great pieces of what that means. But inside, what that means relationally for him, each and every time he does it gets a little further away, a little secluded. He has to hide who he really is and his relationships. He cheats the people that are closest to him. What are you doing where you're cheating where you shouldn't? Where can you experiment, ask for permission as Daniel did, get some more information and come up with a plan so that you can put your priorities where you want them to be, where they need to be? Because everybody cheats. Every one of us are cheating. Don't cheat the people who love you the most. Don't cheat the people who want to live a life with you. Don't cheat the people who are still younger than you that you get to raise and invest. You'll never find a better disciple than your kids. They watch you. They learn from you. They hear you. They'll pick up your personality and your traits and your values. Don't cheat yourself for the sake of a dollar unless it's purposeful and you know why you're doing that. Everybody's agreed and how you're still going to invest in your wife or your husband or your kids. Don't cheat the one that created you. He can give you far more, far quicker than you could ever do on your own. Where are you cheating? Where do you want to cheat? Maybe you want to cheat your husband or your wife. That says something about your relationship. Seek help. Ask for help. I can help you with that. I'm not a counselor, but I can point you in the right direction. But let's all agree that we're going to take this challenge seriously. We're going to look at our schedules. We're going to see where the time says we're investing. And if it's seasonal, we get it. Seasonal things happen at work or in life. But agree to that season and then hold each other accountable to it. When you're not involved, whether it's work or whatever, be fully present in those areas you're supposed to, at home or with your friends or with your family. Let's agree to give God an opportunity to come through in areas we never dreamt. Let's agree that we're going to let God expand our vision, our talents, our gifts for his glory, not our own, not for our jobs. God can handle what's going on at work even better than he can handle things that are going at home and we're not there. Thousands of people can do what we do for a living. We're the only ones that God stuck in our little sphere of influence, whether that's in our house, whether that's in our friends, whether that's in our family. We're the only ones that God put there. Let's leverage it for his kingdom, not ours. In your programs, when you walked in, you would have received a Connect card. And if you didn't grab one, there's one in the back of of the seats in front of you. Grab one of those, fill out what you're comfortable with. We believe these are not just a piece of paper that, you know, hey, they're just trying to get my information. That's not true. We're not just trying to get your information. What we believe is when you fill this out, you're saying, God, I'm ready to take a next step today. So we're going to offer three of those this morning. You may have one that we didn't even mention, but you felt like God spoke to you. You can write that down, put it in the offering. I pray for these every single week. If there's anything that you want follow up with, put that on there too. Drop it in the buckets when it goes by in just a few minutes, and we'll follow up with you. But the first one is maybe you need to accept Christ for the first time. Even in a church our size, it's arrogant to believe where you are spiritually. That's not even my decision. That's not even my job, believe it or not. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to present the gospel and let God work through the Holy Spirit, and he will be the recruiter, not me. But if you want to make that decision today, and this is your first time doing it, a couple of things. One, please notate that. Not supposed to do this on your own. We want to give some resources to you. A couple of those for anybody is this Next Step book that's in the back by the coffee mugs. If it's your first time here or you don't have one, grab one of those. But This is a great book to help you take your next step. It talks about studying your Bible, talking with God, and of course, if you don't have a Bible, they're free in the back. No cost. We don't even need to know who you are. Just grab one on your way out. It's just our gift to you. The second is recognize you are cheating. Just be honest with yourself. I am cheating. And if you can start to label where those things are, you're going to be far better for it. I'm cheating in this area, in these areas. I'm cheating financially. I'm cheating relationally. I'm cheating at work. Whatever those things are, just recognize you're doing it. Write it down. And the third is this. Stop cheating in the areas that only you can do. God's created you. He's put you in families. You could be that you're the only son or daughter to your mom and dad. Well, I have another sister, and I'm a sister. Well, you're the only one that's that age. You're the only one that was born in that order. You're the only mom to those kids. You're the only dad to those kids. You're the only husband. You're the only wife. You're the only sibling. You're the only cousin. You're the only grandfather. You're the only grandma. God put you in those relationships for a reason. The question is, are you investing in those areas like you're supposed to? Are they a priority? Or are they a nuisance? Are you finding ways to cheat your time so you don't have to spend as much time with them? Why is that? Pray through that. Work on those things. You've heard the cliche. I've never met anybody on their deathbed that said, you know what, I wish I would have spent more time at work. You just don't hear it. Let's not do that. Let's agree as a church that we're just not going to do it. We're going to do everything we can to be successful at the jobs God's put us in, but not at the sake of our families. They're going to go up and take our offering. You can go ahead and drop your Connect cards as they go by. We'll announce the winner of the movie tickets on Facebook, on our Facebook page tomorrow, if you want to follow along there. And there's still 4 tickets up here for the Reds game. So this will be a good distraction about what we're going to do if you want to come up and grab those. We're going to have prayer teams. If you have anything that you'd love prayer for, I'll be over here in the corner, be honored to pray for you. And we'll have communion. You simply take the cracker, you dip it in the juice. The cracker represents Jesus' body that was broken. The juice represents Jesus' blood that was shed. Come up individually, you come up as a family. You don't have to come up at all. This is between you and God. Nobody's counting how many people take communion. There's one in the back if you want to do it a little more discreetly. But this is just a time to say, God, thank you for what you've done in my life. And when I take communion, what we're saying is, I'm all in. I'm choosing you first, and you're going to help me figure out everything else. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for Daniel and just the example he set for us. God, that he had a choice. He was either going to choose to cheat you, God, and we don't want to cheat you. Nobody here that walked in this morning thought, you know what I want to do this morning is I want to cheat God with my life. But God, sometimes circumstances happen and we find ourselves in situations that, God, we don't even know how we got there. And in the end, we're cheating those that we love the most. God, we're cheating you. So God, help us in those moments. Come now by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, give us the helper so that we can choose to cheat in the areas that matter the least. And that's no discredit to our jobs. It's no discredit to the hobbies that we have. But God, you've put us in our families for a reason. And so God, where we need to come up with some strategic ideas at work, God, give us influence with our bosses, with our peers, that you gave Daniel with the chief of staff. Give us respect. Give us honor. Come, Lord. Go before us. God, we want to honor you. God, we don't want to cheat you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to get prayer and communion.